Thank you, Mr. Miller. Good morning, everyone. Well, here we are just a few days away from the end of this season, the end of this year. We'll be heading in for a new start, a new year that's just ahead of us. And just a few weeks ago, we just celebrated the last holy days of the season. God's holy days revealed to us an incredible time and plan that he has for us and for those who will obey him. If we are ready, we will have not only the blessing of being there, but being part of what God has in store for us the rest of eternity. We don't keep these days just out of a simple routine, the holy days, the Sabbath. We keep these days because they are important steps in God's plan that help prepare us for a time that is coming. And that time is coming quickly. Brethren, if we're not careful, we could get caught at the point where it's too late for us to be adequately prepared. A time that we've all been waiting for. A time to meet our Father, a time to meet our brother, and a time to be made part of their family. So ask us a question today. Are we ready? And this is the title for today's sermon. When an athlete sets a goal of winning and competes in whatever it is they do, they train extra to be sure that they are not just in good shape, but they are in excellent shape, abundantly ready to meet their goal. Most of us don't compete in sports, but we all should be training for the most important event in our life, the kingdom of God. Wouldn't we want to put extra effort into our training so that we could be fully prepared to meet our goal? What are we doing with our time? Are we putting extra effort into what we should be doing? How much more important is our salvation, our readiness to be made part of God's family and his kingdom? We should be nourishing our minds and with the knowledge of God's word and his plan. We have to make time to study, pray, and fast. These are the needed tasks to grow spiritually and be adequately prepared. I'd like to share a story with you about something I learned this year. Since I was a young boy, I've been an avid deer hunter. I love to hunt. Most of you know that. Deer hunting is one of my favorite things to do. One of the things that I do in preparation for the next season is to manage the deer on my property to promote growth and quality. I do this by providing additional nourishment, additional foods, through the planting of specialty fields for the deer to feed in. There are many steps that are involved to grow a good field, but the most important step is to be prepared to commit the time that's needed for it. The ground requires preparation as well as constantly nurturing it. Some of the steps required for a good field is you have to have a plan. Time management is imperative for the needed task. You have to remove as much weeds and junk from the fields as you can. You have to fertilize the ground and you have to plant the seed. And as the crop grows, you have to continue to combat the weeds that can choke out good and abundant growth. If you take these steps, you will not only produce a good field, but you will produce a crop, an abundant crop. This year I failed in accomplishing great fields. I didn't use the knowledge that I had been instructed in to meet the goal that I desired. Although I knew better, I did not make enough time in my schedule to accomplish the tasks needed to grow great fields. I waited to the last minute to take every step required. I had the disillusion that there was still enough time. I can get it tomorrow. As a result, weeds crept in and stunted the growth of my fields, of my crops. I only produced half of what was required to meet my goals for the expectation of those fields. I tried to justify my failure, my shortcomings. I had good reasons. I was busy working. There's time. I'll get it tomorrow. I'm tired. I need better tools. There's a lot going on in my life right now. The weather's not cooperating. But the reality is now that I only had half of what was required to get through the season. And now there's no time left to grow another field. The growing season was over. It was foolish of me to think there would be any other result other than falling short of my goal. I knew better, I had the tools, I had the knowledge, but I was lazy on the execution of the required process. I failed to make my goal. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, we'll read verses 1 through 10, and we'll take a look at a familiar parable about a group of people, some of which failed to meet or to be adequately prepared. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible today. The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flask along with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you also. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And in verse 10, "And while they were going away to make this purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went to him and to the wedding feast, and the door was shut." And in verse 13, here's our warning. "Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour that Christ will return." This is a warning for us that shows that we should always be ready, that we should always be prepared, and not just prepared, but adequately prepared, so we can be made part of God's family. This is his plan for us. This is his desire for us. Is it our desire? All 10 virgins are comparable, are representative of God's people, those given an equal chance to be made part of God's family. They all were given the needed. They all were, had what was needed to prepare for the wedding feast, but only 5 prepared. Brethren, we have been given the tools and the instructions to make ourselves ready for Christ's return and enter into God's family, his kingdom. This should be our ultimate goal. I hope so, anyway. I know it's mine. There should be nothing more valuable for us than to have the chance to be made part of God's family and living in his kingdom forever. The Nelson King James Version Bible Commentary, I'd like to read to you what it says about this passage we just read. The number 5 in the group does not necessarily indicate that there was half, but it indicates that there's 2 types of people, the prepared and the unprepared. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, we all know that. It's our personal possession of the Holy Spirit. All 10 virgins had it, but only some did something with it. Only some of them grew their spirit. The word foolish is from the Greek word moros, which means stupid. One word definition. Sounds kind of blunt, but I thought it was kind of neat. Why was it stupid? Well, it was because they were given everything that was needed. It was handed to them. All we had to do was do something with it. That's all they had to do. They had the opportunity and the tools to adequately prepare themselves. They did not use them, and then they did not grow spiritually. There is no more time. The season is now. I know we all want to be in God's kingdom. What if we are in our last season to grow? Or worse yet, what if the growing season is over? Are we ready? Are we prepared? How do we make sure that we are doing what is needed to be adequately prepared? The process really is quite simple, and we hear it all the time, but we're going to hear it again, I guess. There are no complicated instructions. It's just simple, good life principles. We simply need to be praying, studying, fasting, and meditating. Meditating on God's word, praying on God's word, listening to what he has to say to us. Sometimes we may let these go to the back burner, don't we? And it is. It's something we've been given. It's something we've been instructed in all of our life. It's something sometimes we take lightly, and we think there's enough time to get to it later. This year, we've heard approximately 65 to 70 sermons and as many sermonettes, all containing instructions preparing and strengthening us for this coming season. How's our training coming? Are we growing? Are we putting to use the lessons we've heard from God's word? What are we doing with the knowledge that has been made available to us? Are we using this knowledge to our benefit to grow and strengthen our lives and well-being? Or are we under the disillusion that we can do it later? There's still enough time. We know that we should be studying and praying and fasting and meditating so that we will not only be growing, but building a relationship with our Father, our God, so that He will know us. We are His sons and daughters, His own special people, the Bible says. Our salvation is more important to Him than even to us, but it most definitely needs to be important to us, doesn't it? In Hebrews 2, verse 1, it speaks of salvation. Brethren, we should want to be ready, and we should want to be prepared. But not just ready, but abundantly ready and prepared. Hebrews 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. And reading part of verse 3, how do we expect to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The point being made here is that we need to secure ourselves to God and His Word, being careful not to let our only way of salvation pass us by. We are given instruction on the things to meditate on, the things that will help us to be made strong, the things that will help us be prepared, the things that will help us be ready. Let's turn to Philippians 4, and we'll read verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And we'll read of some of these things. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. In verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard in me and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The things talked about here is of God's word, His promises, His law, His ways, His instruction. These things must always be on our minds and in our hearts. Meditating on these things promote growth and readiness. Do these things not just casually, but constantly. Why is prayer and meditation important? We know we need to develop a relationship with God, but why is prayer and meditation important? Well, because high thinking produces high living, and noble thinking produces noble living, and holy thinking produces holy living. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, you don't have to turn there. It reads simply this: for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Let's not let happen to our spiritual lives and readiness what I allowed to happen in the development of my fields. Let's not grow lazy, make excuses, justify our shortcomings, because we have a lot more to lose than just crops in a field. Brethren, let's make sure we are developing and growing by using the instruction and the tools we have been given, never fooling ourselves, thinking that we have more time. If we do these things, using the instructions that we've been given, we will never have to doubt when we ask ourselves, am I ready?